checking markets the day after the Thursday of woe.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. World markets seem to have stabilized this morning. Now London's 100-share index is down less than a tenth percent. The DAX in Germany is flat. I could also mention that U.S. stock index futures are up this morning, but that does not erase the fact that the Dow fell 264 points yesterday, 1.5%. The S&P was slightly worse, and the NASDAQ composite fell nearly 2%. Jasper Lawler is market analyst at CMC Markets in the U.K., and he joins us from London. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, David.
So what was dragging people down yesterday, you think? What was on people's minds?
I think there were a few different factors here. One of them was a sort of rumor floating around that Russia were drafting some law to allow the seizure of foreign assets inside of Russia, which obviously would impact any multinational with assets inside the country. The larger couple of pullbacks that we've seen in the market have been just before earnings season. Maybe profitability is not going to keep up at the same pace it has been.
We also have a high dollar, don't we? The euro slumped yesterday. It's fairly even today. But you know, if you take a look more broadly, the dollar is very strong.
It's hit four-month highs against a basket of foreign currencies. And some concern is that that actually may start to impact some of the U.S. multinational earnings. Obviously, if the earnings are coming from abroad, but they have to be repatriated into U.S. dollars, those foreign earnings just aren't going to be worth as much.
Jasper Lawler, market analyst at CMC Markets in the U.K., thank you for this.
My pleasure.
Not every cyber attack is an outside job. The FBI and Department of Homeland Security have just warned of an increase in attacks against businesses by current and former employees, disruptions that can cost companies millions to put right. Kate Davidson reports.
Say a worker is fired, escorted out, email shut down, her old company could still be vulnerable to digital retaliation, like the destruction of data or information theft. Cameron Camp with the security company ESET says IT workers in particular tend to have a backdoor login.
It'd be like trying to get into your old apartment. You know which key gets into the back way that nobody else knows about. And you also know the lay of the land.
But it's not just IT workers. The FBI is warning that the business use of personal email and cloud storage websites like Dropbox make theft easier. Dan Kaminsky is with the anti-fraud firm WhiteOps.
When you have company resources flowing through systems that are not under company control, when somebody leaves, they still have access.
Cameron Camp says companies should create unified logins so employees sign in the same way for everything, even the cloud. That way, all access can be shut down at once. Also, he says,
be nice to your employees.
After all, that's free. I'm Kate Davidson for Marketplace.
Now time for the Marketplace Inflation Calculator. As Marketplace celebrates its 25th birthday this year, we're looking at the surprising, sometimes delightful, and sometimes destructive ways that prices have changed during that quarter century. After a 1989 Sears catalog showed up from eBay, it opened to reveal that a medium-capacity window air conditioner in 80s-style faux-wood paneling could be had for $300 back then. Factor in inflation, and that's like $575 now. An equivalent 8,000 BTU window AC unit, again from Kenmore, today goes for just $219. But although the price tag is way cheaper in real terms, here's the concern when it comes to household budgets and climate change. When something like this gets so much cheaper, it changes our behavior.
Economists have used the term rebound effect to describe this. At its simplest, it's just the idea that when something gets cheaper, we consume more of it. The demand curves slope down. And so it makes sense that, for example, as air conditioners get cheaper, we're going to buy more of them and use them more.
Lucas Davis is an economist who follows energy policy at UC Berkeley's Haas School of Business. He and colleagues found that's what happened in Mexico when there was a push on for energy-efficient air conditioners there. The U.S., however, may have a different dynamic.
You've had enormous improvements in energy efficiency. You've also had big increases in the number of things that we have in our homes that use electricity, and the two have balanced each other during this period.
I fell down a rabbit hole of government energy numbers, and where equilibrium has really been reached is the electric bill itself. The Bureau of Labor Statistics has a survey showing the average household spent an inflation-adjusted equivalent of $1,386 on electricity in 1989. Last year, the average was just $36 more a year. Amazingly close. But don't blame air conditioning, even for that modest increase in electricity bills. Even though the percentage of households that have AC has skyrocketed since Marketplace went on the air. In the most recent period where stats are available, people spent $237 a year on electricity specifically for AC cooling. On average, whole country, rich and poor, hot climates and cold. In 1989, adjusted for inflation, people spent $321 on power for the AC. In other words, the average household is paying less now for AC than in 1989.
State-of-the-art engineering means greater energy efficiency. A new Kenmore could save 10 to 44% on your annual cooling costs.
More efficient cooling systems, yes, and the Great Recession may have distorted the stats some, but a big reason is that the cost of electricity has fallen almost 15% per kilowatt hour between 1989 and last year. Radically cheaper AC units down at Sears are just icing on the cake. For some further fun and deeper context about numbers like these, there is a Marketplace live show in New York, October 16th. Kai Rizdahl and I will be there. Info about tickets for How I Learned to Stop Worrying and to Love the Numbers is at 92y.org. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.